We want to welcome you to our evening broadcast in the Saviour's name on this, the evening of Easter Sunday. We want to thank you for taking the time to listen. And it is our earnest prayer that the broadcast will be both a help and a blessing to you at this time. Let me just remind you of the meetings for this incoming week, our midweek service, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock here in the church building. And then next Lord's Day, 11:30 a.m. is the morning service. It'll be held here in the church. And then 6:30 p.m. is the evening service. There's no evening meeting in the church just for the foreseeable future. That evening service will be broadcast on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube. God willing, I'll be preaching myself at all of these meetings in the incoming week. We ask you to make them known to others. We'd be glad of your help in that regard. And if you can, please come along and join with us. We'd be glad both of your support and of your fellowship. We're going to read together in the Scriptures. It's a very familiar portion of the Word of God. We do invite you to take the Bible, find the passage, follow in the reading. John chapter 3, and we're beginning to read at the verse 14, and reading just a short section down to the end of verse 21. So John chapter 3, one of the best known, most familiar passages in all the Word of God, breaking into the chapter at the 14th verse, and let us hear the Word of the Lord. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So closing our reading at the end of the 21st verse, and we pray the Lord will follow with his blessing to every heart the public reading of his word. Let's just pray together for a moment's prayer. Father, we seek thee at the throne of grace. We come in our Saviour's name. We thank you for this Easter Lord's Day that reminds us of the resurrection of our Saviour. We rejoice that we come to one who has triumphed over death and hell and who is alive, who lives in the power of an endless life, and that he ever lives to make intercession for us. We pray that we'll be conscious of those prayers been answered in our behalf today. We pray that we'll know the presence of the Lord, even in this broadcast and in the ministering of thy word. We pray, Father, that you'll make us a channel of blessing today. We remember those in need, those in our congregation that are unwell. We ask that they will know the touch of God. Remember those who grieve, passing through that deep valley of the shadow of death. We pray that they will know your presence and only the comfort that thou thyself can give. So, Father, hear our cries and abide with us now. And we're praying for the touch of God, the anointing of your Spirit to rest upon the preaching of the gospel. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're taking as our text for this special gospel service on the evening of Easter Sunday, the best known verse in all the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The theme of the message this evening is, you can't get to heaven without salvation. That's the first line of a well-known children's chorus. It's a chorus I'm sure that you sang yourself as a child when you came to children's meeting and to Sunday school. And I want you to think very carefully of those words as we meditate upon this well-known verse of Scripture this evening. That's the truth that we want to emphasize today. When a person dies, when they come to the end of their life, you can't get to heaven without a salvation. Let me remind you that here in John 3:16, we have one of the greatest, one of the best known verses in all the Bible. We have one of the clearest statements on salvation that is found in all the Scriptures. Martin Luther, the great German reformer, called this verse the gospel in miniature. It is a summary of the whole gospel, and it is a summary of the whole message of the Bible. And I want us to consider just for a few minutes together this evening something of what this great verse teaches us about the greatest subject on earth, the subject of God's salvation. You'll notice, first of all, the sacrifice for God's salvation. On this Easter Sunday, I want you to think of what God gave. I want you to think of the price that the Lord paid for our salvation. It says in the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Many years ago, a famous American lawyer, Samuel Untermyer, his wife, was touring in Europe. She came across one of the great goblin tapestries. She wanted to buy it. It was $25,000, a lot of money, even away back then. She telegrammed her husband and asked if she should buy it. He sent back the message, no, price too high. He hadn't fixed the punctuation in the telegram properly. And what happened was, whenever she came back from Europe, she brought the tapestry with her. He questioned her about it and why she had gone ahead and bought it despite the message that he had sent. And she showed him the telegram. There was no punctuation, no commas. It just simply made the statement, no price too high. Gave the impression that it didn't matter what you paid for it, it still wouldn't be expensive. So go ahead and buy it and bring it home. And I want you to think, men and women today, of Calvary. I want you to lift your thoughts and your mind to Calvary. I want you to consider the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, God's dear Son, on the cross. And as you do, I want you to understand that no price was too high. No price too high for God to pay for our salvation. His sacrifice was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. His sacrifice was the supremest sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice of all. And we can say that without being guilty of any exaggeration. Sometimes in our comments, we are guilty of exaggeration. But this certainly was the greatest sacrifice ever made. There's not a doubt about it, men and women. God could not have given any more than he did that day at Calvary. Sometimes we hear people say, if God is a God of love, they question all the time the love of God. But don't be mistaken, men and women. He is a God of love. And all you have to do is look at the cross. And if you do so, you'll see the greatest demonstration of love that this world of ours has ever known. What I want to do today in this message is point you away from the church with all its rites and rituals. I want to point you away from self and all your works and all your own efforts to obtain salvation. And I want to point you to Christ. And I want you to point you to his death upon Calvary's cross. Because it is in that death alone, by its merit and by its value, that you can experience God's so great salvation. If you think of the verse, the very middle word of the verse is the word son. There's a little chorus we teach the children, 25 words in John 3:16. No greater verse has ever been seen. 12 about God and 12 about me, and son in the center, verse 16, John 3. So I want you to think of about the very center word of the verse. And that teaches us, men and women, that at the very heart of the plan of God's salvation is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, there is no gospel. And apart from Christ, there is no salvation. And we want to say to you today, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We want you to look to Christ, look to him by faith, and look to him alone today for the salvation of your soul. That's the sacrifice for salvation. Think as well about the scope of God's salvation. Think of the words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. So here's the scope. Here's the extent of God's salvation. Who can have it? Who is it for? It tells us here in the words of our Savior, it's for the whosoever. If you think of the Old Testament tabernacle, the gate into the tabernacle court was 30 feet wide. That's just over 9 meters. What that means is it was wide enough to let everyone in. And men and women, this invitation of the gospel, this invitation to salvation, is wide enough to let you in as well. It matters not what your background is, matters not what nationality you are, what your ethnic origin may be, what religion you practice. We want you to know that God's salvation can take you in. It's for the whosoever. The only person that is excluded is the person that excludes themselves, because you're included here in the invitation of the gospel. If you think of it like this, it was wide enough to take in Nicodemus. He's the man here in John 3 that first heard the glorious words of this 16th verse. He was a religious, moral, self-righteous Pharisee, and the invitation was wide enough to take him in. It was also wide enough to take in the woman in the next chapter, chapter 4, the woman of Samaria. She was sinful. She was immoral. She was an adulteress. She was a notorious sinner in that community. So there's the two extremes, the moral and the immoral. And the invitation is wide enough to embrace them both, and everyone else in between as well. And we want you to know it will take you in today if you'll turn from your sins and come to Jesus Christ for salvation. This God's salvation, men and women, is for the whosoever will. Richard Baxter, one of the great Puritan preachers, he said that he rejoiced in this little word, whosoever. He said if God had said that if Richard Baxter believed, he thought of himself as such a vile sinner that God must have meant some other Richard Baxter. But he said whenever the verse includes the word whosoever, he knows that that includes me, the worst of all Richard Baxters. And we want you to know, men and women, that the verse, the invitation, includes you as well today, whoever you may be. Even if you're the worst sinner in this town, or the worst sinner in the community where you live, where you reside. And I pray that that will encourage you to come to Jesus Christ today. As we think of that word, whosoever, let me warn you, it doesn't say whensoever. You can't get saved when you want. You can't come to Christ when you like. You can only be saved when the Spirit is speaking. You can only be saved when the door of opportunity is still open to you. Don't be saying today like Felix, some more convenient time. There is a day of salvation, men and women. And that day is not every day. Do you remember what the Scriptures teach? In 2 Corinthians, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Notice that little word, now, repeated twice in the verse for emphasis. Now is the day of salvation. Today is salvation's day. Tomorrow is damnation's day. So we want to warn you, you can't be saved whensoever. You can't be saved just whenever you like. Joseph Kemp, who became a great pastor and Bible teacher and evangelist, he was speaking one day in his unconverted state, speaking one day to a sailor who was a believer. The sailor was witnessing to him, and he made this earnest appeal: when are you going to be converted? And Kemp thought about that for a moment and replied, I think I'll do it now. And we want to urge you, men and women, come to Christ now, while you still have time, and while you still have opportunity. Notice in the third place in the text the simplicity of God's salvation. The verse says, whosoever believeth in him. And that's how simple God's salvation is. Just believe and receive. Just trust Christ. And we want to plead with you to do that this very day. We're told, often told, that there are many religions. The reality is there's just two. We pray that you'll see that and understand that great truth. The two religions are not the Protestants and the Catholics, not the Muslims and the Hindus. The two religions are these. One is the religion of works. It's those who believe you must work your way to heaven. Think of the rich young ruler. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So many people think they must do something hard, something difficult. Must walk up Croagh-Patrick Mountain in their bare feet. Must pay vast sums of money into the church. Must make pilgrimages, religious pilgrimages, to the very end of the earth. They say, they teach salvation is by doing, it's by works. But men and women, that's a false religion. It's not the teaching of the Bible. Remember Paul said to Titus, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Solomon teaches in the Proverbs on two occasions, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way to getting to heaven by your works seems to be right, as the appearance of being the right way, but it will lead you to a lost eternity. The other religion is the religion of the Bible. It's the religion of faith. You're saved by faith, by putting your trust in Christ, putting your trust in his sacrifice, putting your trust in his work, the finished work of Calvary's cross. He has done all the work. He has finished and completed all the work that is necessary for your salvation. And there's nothing, not one thing, that you need to add to the work that Christ did upon the cross. All you need to do is believe, trust in his sacrifice. It's whosoever believeth in him that should not perish, but have everlasting life. Young man came after a gospel service to see the minister. He was in great distress about his soul. He asked the minister the question, what must I do to find peace? The minister just calmly said to him, you're too late. The young man was very anxious. He said, do you mean I'm too late to be saved? No. He said, you're too late to do anything. The Lord Jesus did it all some 2,000 years ago. I want you to see, men and women, that you need to stop trying to save yourself. And you need to let the Lord save you. Paul said to the jailer that night in Philippi, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You put your trust completely and only in the finished work of Christ, and you'll be saved for all eternity. The final truth in the text is the security of God's salvation. It says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know, we hear a lot about security. There's times we don't feel very secure at all. But what we want you to see as we consider this verse is, here's real security. Here, men and women, is the security of God's salvation. Those who are in Christ for salvation, they will never perish. Remember, if you're out of Christ, you will perish. You'll perish for all eternity. Those out of the ark, they perished. They experience death. And those out of Christ will perish eternally. They'll experience eternal death in the lake of fire for all eternity. Let me stress, this is immediate security.
You can have it right now. The moment you trust Christ, you'll have this eternal security. It is not just immediate security, it is eternal security as well. It's a salvation that will last forever. Just think of that. Take it in. God gives everlasting life. In other words, God will give to you, the moment you trust Christ, he will give to you something that will never end. A life that will last forever and forever. There's no such thing as being saved today and lost tomorrow. Once you're saved, once you're in Christ, once your trust is in him, you're as sure of heaven as if you were already there. So if you want security, if you want peace in your heart today, in the midst of this troubled world in which we're found, in which we live, then come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Let me just say to you, as we close the message, we're approaching in a few weeks' time the 100th anniversary of the founding of Northern Ireland. Way back in those days, the most prominent figure on the Unionist side was Sir Edward Carson. Whenever Sir Edward came to the end of his life, 1935, he had been ill for a little time. The primate of all Ireland, Dr. Charles Darcy, came to visit with him. They had been good friends for many years. Sir Edward said to Dr. Darcy, "I have seen many things in my life to shake my faith, and all that remains now is what I learnt upon my mother's knee. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Dr. Darcy replied to Sir Edward, "It is enough." And men and women, that will be enough for you too. That will be enough to save you. When you come to die, if you're simply trusting in Jesus Christ and in the work that he did on Calvary's cross, that will be enough to save your soul and to get you into heaven as well. So remember the statement that we started with. You can't get to heaven without salvation. I want to impress that upon your hearts today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May the Lord bless this message today to the saving of your soul. Let's just pray as we finish. Father, we bow to give thee thanks for thy word. Thank you for the light of Scripture. We want to pray, Father, that you'll bless this message. We want to pray that you'll use it. The entrance of your word giveth light. We think of many in our own community that sit in spiritual darkness. We want to pray, Father, that you'll use the message that has gone forth and bless the broadcast. We thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news. We thank you for the love of Christ for sinners. We thank you for that love that brought him from heaven down to earth, took him to the cross to die the awful death of the cross. And Lord, we rejoice today that there's salvation for all that will trust him. Hear these our prayers, Father. We just commit ourselves to thee. And we ask now that the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be our abiding portion, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.